you have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes too when you donate now at laist.com/sweeps.
I'm Tracy Thomas, host of One for the Books, a live literary event series from LAist. We are back with guests, author Amanda Montell, and actor Bella Lavelle. You can find us on May 15th at the Crawford Family Forum. Tickets at laist.com/events.
LAist Studios.
When you describe Griffith to someone that's from out of town or has never really been in LA, what would you describe it as?
I feel like Park really undersells how cool it is here. Yeah, it's a park, but it's also a place where you could just go and relax and be in nature in the middle of a big city.
From LA Studios, this is How to LA, the podcast that helps you understand a little bit more about Los Angeles. I'm your host, Brian De Los Santos. Today, we're here in one of the largest city parks in the United States, Griffith Park. Producer Evan Jacoby and I are hanging out with Caitlin Hernandez, our LA Explained reporter.
What's up, Brian?
I didn't know there was a river here. Is it a fake one?
I think it's real. Yeah, it should be real.
It transports me to another place.
I feel like this is a little bit like Lake Arrowhead feel, a little bit. Like we're up in the mountains, really remote. But in reality, I can like turn the corner onto like Sunset Boulevard.
I love that.
So today, we're going to dive into the history of this beautiful park. And even if you're a Griffith Park pro, hopefully we'll leave you with something new, like a new trail or even just some trivia to impress your friends.
There's nature folks, there's fitness girlies, jocks and joggers.
Look at this dog wearing a little raincoat.
So cute.
Okay, so before we get all like official in history, I do want to ask you, what's your ties to Griffith Park? Like, what's your core memory? Was it growing up? Was it your college years? What is your tie to Griffith?
You know, I think Griffith has always been a part of just things that my friends and I would do. I will say probably like a lot of people in LA go to Griffith Park a lot. It's honestly, I go there to the observatory to go look at the sky. It's where I've processed breakups. It's where I've just hung out with friends and just got, you know, more acclimated with myself. So it's definitely very personal for me. Today we're at the entrance to Griffith Park, so to speak. It's the Ferndale Trail. I think Ferndale is a fun way for anyone to get exposed to how cool Griffith Park is. It's by a busy street, but like it's kind of closed off and serene. There's beautiful rivers flowing by, and it's kind of like, feels like you step into a different world when you cross this gate over here.
One of the cool things about Ferndale specifically is that it's super easy to get to. It's just east of the intersection of Western and Los Feliz. There's usually pretty decent street parking, and the trailhead is only a 5-minute walk from the Hollywood Western Red Line station.
And, you know, I'll say, too, this part that we're at, Ferndale, I've actually never been before until today. And I think this is just a great example of how, like, you can find a lot of different things to do here and enjoy, from, like, activities to do to just new places to walk on a trail.
Ah! Oh, boy. Ah! I really don't want to get muddy.
Okay, so let's do a little walk and talk here as we hike along this muddy trail.
I'm wearing my white shoes.
I know. These are, like, not new, but these...
Just don't press your foot down too hard. That way it doesn't sink in.
You know what's funny, Evan? I'm doing leg day today.
Hey.
We always go on outdoor adventures when it's leg day, when I gotta walk. I'm already doing a lot of leg work. This is will be my cardio.
Quarter mile cardio, hey.
Yeah.
Hello.
Walking under a tunnel real quickly. Ah, did that one?
I also haven't been to Ferndale before, so this is a new discovery for me. When you were talking about like showcasing this to friends or like new visitors of Los Angeles, I feel like the first thing people ask me to do for a hike and we gravitate towards is Runyon, which is like the cute cousin, the Barbie doll, Ken cousin on the other side of the hill. And Griffith, it's more like the history, like the observatory. And I think when I read your piece, the first few lines of the story was like, think about Central Park, think about Golden Gate Park in San Francisco. We have Griffith, which is a humongous area.
Yeah, I mean, it's 4,200 acres or more than that. There's so much here to unpack that just it feels like it's deeper than just a place of grass, you know? For example, at the entrance here of Ferndale, there's a plaque right below the Ferndale sign that mentions that there's indigenous tribal artifacts found here on the grounds in Ferndale. Where we're standing right now, there was a village. There's no remnants around except for a plaque at the sign. But yeah, they've been stewards of this land forever. So just things like that that help you, when you walk by, be able to see like the history in front of you.
And as we know, Spanish rule comes and stolen lands happen. And the exchange of different family hands and the fights ensue. A lot of this has to do with the Los Feliz family. Can you start with the family drama there?
So the land has exchanged a few times, different hands. It was put into a Spanish land grant when California was under Spanish rule. One of the first major owners of that land grant was Jose Vicente Feliz. We all know that namesake probably. He was a corporal for the crown, the Spanish crown. And he was actually part of the original crew of people who led the families that settled LA here to Los Angeles. So he was awarded this land as kind of like a gift. It was called Rancho Los Feliz. And just remember, too, when I say Spanish land rule, it was through the Mexican government, but with colonization, Spain was in charge over here.
I feel like as you're researching this, you found a lot of lore in this history. Can you just tell us how digging into Griffith Park history itself can be a little tricky?
Oh, that's a good question. So digging into history in general is sometimes dicey because the further back you go, the harder it is to check that things actually happened or learn about things that did happen but you can't really find about. One of the situations I think you're thinking of was with one of the descendants of the Los Feliz family. Her name is Doña Petronia. She put a curse on the land and it was a whole thing. When one of her family members, I think her dad passed away, he left the land, the Griffith Park land, to like his attorney or something like that. She got pissed about it pretty much and went up to one of the peaks that's here in Griffith Park, yelled across the land of saying like, your cattle will die, won't fatten, you'll have famine, stuff like that. Basically like whoever owns this is gonna face trouble and that's that. But of course she's not alive anymore. This is hundreds of years ago. No one has a recording from that day. So there's some lore and then there's some stuff that's been written down in history.
And what would you gravitate towards believing? Like, what is your, like, I'm a journalist, I'm slash researcher on this, this is what I'm gonna believe.
Oh, I mean, if enough people tell me that they feel like there's a curse here and they give me examples, I'm like, all right, I'm not gonna discount that. When I was working on this story, I asked like all of the experts I interviewed if they believed in the curse. And everyone told me, they're like, I don't really think it's real, but also I like broke my leg here. Or, you know, one of the later owners of the land after the Los Feliz family like had a whole bunch of terrible stuff happen. So it's like, is it false? Is it true? Who knows?
We're gonna take a quick break, but we'll be right back with Caitlin Hernandez to talk more about Griffith Park history.
Support for LAist comes from Latino Theater Company at the Los Angeles Theater Center, presenting the world premiere of Mix Mix, the Filipino Adventures of a German Jewish Boy by Boney B. Alvarez. Inspired by true events from the life of Ralph Price. After escaping Nazi Germany, a newfound tropical refuge in the Philippines is upended when Japan invades the islands. On stage through June 16th. Tickets and information at latinotheaterco.org.
Imagine if you could charge your electric vehicle at the places you already love to eat, shop, and play. Whether you're at the movies, on your weekly grocery trip, or running errands at your local mall, Volta EV charging stations are built around your day-to-day and located in your community and nationwide. All you have to do is check in, plug in, and go about your day. It's EV charging made convenient. Download the Volta app to find your new favorite place to charge.
So we're back and we're going to continue our walk up the Ferndale Trail.
Watch your step as you're climbing here. Oh, wait, fun fact. Kaylin, I didn't know you could bring your dog up here.
Oh, yeah, there's so many dogs that walk by. It's a great time.
That's the other thing that I'm discovering going outside with the producers and everyone is like, where can I hang out with my dog? Yeah. And that's what I try to pitch as an Angelino who, you know, I'm not an outdoorsy girl. I like hanging out outside, but I need my dog with me sometimes. So yeah. You have a dog too, no?
Yes. Yeah. She has separation anxiety, so she'd love to be out with me more.
So tell us about this particular man, Griffith J. Griffith, comma capitalist, which is what you found in a business card that he owned. And there's two first last names. What's up with that?
And does the J stand for Jiffith?
I honestly would need to look up what his middle initial stands for. I don't remember.
We're going to call him Griffith, Jiffith, Griffith for this podcast episode, at least.
Just for fun.
By the way, Mr. Griffith Griffith's real middle name is Jenkins. Oh, well.
Griffith J. Griffith was the later owner of this parkland, which is named after, obviously. He was a South Wales immigrant who came here in 1865. And he was very much into money. And he ended up building a fortune when he was an adult through the California gold mines. Some people describe him as having a little bit of an interesting personality, complicated. He has a fake colonel title. A lot of people still refer to him as like Colonel Griffith J. Griffith. He dealt with a lot of alcoholism, some levels of paranoia. He ended up shooting his wife. She did live, but he shot her in the eye, and that was a whole ordeal. Wow. But he was really important here to LA. When he had this land and wanted to give it to the city, he gave it imagining the city of LA growing around the park, which it eventually did happen. But when the park was donated to the city of LA, it wasn't actually in the city boundaries.
So is that part of what extended then the boundaries of LA? Because LA suddenly was like owned land that was outside of its jurisdiction?
Yeah, so it was donated in 1896. And then this area and the city of LA boundaries were connected in the annexation of Hollywood, I think in 1910. And it's also kind of responsible for how we got Ferndale. The route to Ferndale was intended to be like a quick accessible path to the park.
To the naked eye, you will say, people won't know if it's LA County or if it's a city property or it's a state park. And that's part of the story here at Griffith Park.
Yeah, totally. I mean, annexation sounds so boring, but it's honestly partly why we have access to the park in the way we do today.
Let's talk about the carousel in the park, which when I was reading your story, I didn't know there were protests and there were demonstrations that took place at the spot. Can you paint a picture for me?
Yeah, so there's actually multiple things that have happened there between, I think, the 1960s and 1970s primarily. One of the first ones that I was able to find was this protest in the 60s against the operator of the merry-go-round in those days. And there was this group of black teenagers who went on the merry-go-round, and people claimed they skipped paying for the ride and went on and rode. And then I think they were somehow shooed off, and it was a pretty bad scene. There were police called, and there was a big protest. 75 or so police officers came to the merry-go-round and shut things down. They were using like racist words and things like that. So just kind of like a really interesting focal point at Griffith Park about racial tensions here. And I think it's just another example of how Griffith Park has been intertwined with all of the struggles that LA has faced. In the 70s, there were gay-ins that happened here, where people were part of the movement for LGBTQ civil rights. You'd have a huge amount of people usually come and congregate to an area. They'd sit down. It was almost kind of like a sit-in, but they called it a gay-in because people were gay. And it was, I think, partly functioned as part protest of taking up space and sitting in a spot, but then also part education. So they would have speakers come and talk about different issues going on in the community.
Another interesting thing about the carousel and the merry-go-round is that Walt Disney had a little moment while visiting Griffith Park. What happened there?
Yeah, so it's where Walt Disney would come with his kids. And I guess there wasn't much for him to do as an adult. So he would sit on one of the benches nearby and probably eat some peanuts and snacks and watch his kids play. And it's where he had the idea to make Disneyland a place where adults and kids could have fun together. And I mean, Disney adults are like a thriving economy, so it it pretty much happens. One of the benches, at least what I think is supposed to be the bench he sat on, or at least the area, is at Disneyland.
Are we going to put Disney music underneath it?
We'll put fake Disney music so we don't get sued.
Okay, wait. Before I let you go, Caitlin, there's a legend. The diva of all divas that we got to talk about. P22. He was Hollywood. He was a diva. He was, bitch, you can't catch me now. Like, also, like, better have my money because, you know, he was all part of this research. We have a whole episode about P22 on the podcast feed as well. We'll link to it. What would you like to say about P22? I mean, it's P22.
I think P22 played a big role in helping, like, our local society understand why caring for nature and coexisting with nature matters. Griffith Park was huge because it was P22's home. He was the only mountain lion still to this day that's documented living here after walking over from the Santa Monica Mountains. So Griffith Park is his forever home.
Wait, I want to include you in the episode too, Evan.
Oh, okay.
Wait, give me the mic real quick. Okay, Evan, so what is your favorite thing to do? Evan's our producer. Oh, grab it from here.
Yeah, there you go.
Evan's our producer. Evan, what is your favorite thing to do in Griffith Park? You're a homegrown Angelino, so tell me.
So my favorite little trail, it actually starts on the far other side of the park. I found it during COVID because I would... trying to find a place that was not very crowded, and it goes up one of the trails, but then there's like a fallen maybe we shouldn't say this on the podcast, there's like a fallen surface ladder thing that you can climb up that takes you from one trail to the other trail, and it's really fun to take people on because it's like kind of scary, but it's actually very safe, and like I even do it with my dog and he just like runs up the side, so it's like a very fun way to do like kind of, I don't know, like Tarzan adventure vibes within like the confines of the park.
And if you actually, you park near the carousel and it's, I don't know what it's called. It's one of the trails right around there. And you'll see the service ladder on your right, maybe a half a mile up the trail.
I think that's my favorite. And then when you follow that trail down to the bottom, you end up spitting out at the old zoo. So for people who are unfamiliar with Los Angeles, it's pretty, I don't know, packed tour, I suppose.
I just want to say that Evan is kind of an outdoorsy dude, so he knows all these fun facts for about different places in LA. Caitlin, what is your favorite spot in Griffith?
I'm really outing myself here as a basic person, maybe, but I honestly really love the like huge grassy area in front of Griffith Observatory. Getting to just sit there and look out across the landscape of LA, or even just like if you turn your head to like the nature area side of the park, it's just really cool. It makes you feel small and reconsider every problem in your life.
Oh, I love that. Same, yeah. I also have cried a few times at that grassy area, so you know, that's why we're friends.
Right, we'll try to find a nice little grassy knoll that you guys can cry in the future.
We'll do that for social. Caitlin, thank you so much for showing me a little bit more about Griffith. I thought I was a pro, but definitely we can all learn a little bit more. And thanks for bringing me on this little hike.
Yeah, thanks for coming. It was really fun. And if you want to learn more about Griffith Park, do check out my article at las.com/LAExplained.
This episode was produced by Evan Jacoby. Our other producers are Megan Botel, Monica Bushman, and Victoria Alejandro. Support for this podcast is made possible by Gordon and Donna Crawford, who believe that quality journalism makes Los Angeles a better place to live.
The LAist Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at las.com/sweeps.